Hey, thanks so much for being here. I got a very interesting text message that I think echoes the sentiment of a lot of people this morning, talking about the tough day for everyone. And she said in her text message to me this morning, having a hard time dropping my kids off at school today. And I would imagine for a lot of parents, there's a lot of concern as to how safe their children are at school. Are they doing enough? Are the schools doing enough? Joining us now is what I believe to be an expert on the topic. And Steve Hooper is with us. Steve, welcome back to the show, even though it's under such sad circumstances.
Glad to be here, Mike. Thanks.
Let's start with the angle in this of what we've heard in the information, and I'm sure you've seen a lot more of it than I have in the last 24 hours. The police in Nashville saying that they were certain, they strongly believe that there were other targets, but those other targets may have been ignored because of increased security at those places compared to this school. What does that tell you if that's true?
Well, you know, you hear terms like hardened targets and soft targets, and it's not just about school shootings. It can be about terrorism. It can be about any type of workplace where you harden a target for the physical security, for the safety and security of your assets, and your primary assets, of course, being your people. But it can go to your house too. You put the beware of dog in the sign in the window, or you put an alarm sign out front. It just it's a deterrent. It gives the bad guy an indicator that, oh, this is a little tougher. Over the years doing bank robbery investigations, most of the time we would ask a bank robber why they chose that bank, and I went to another bank and there was a police car nearby, or there was a security guard at the door. They look for soft targets, and this is no different. It sounds like she had this planned out and had a plan in place and multiple targets based on the news reports I've seen. And she went for the softest target. Although, interesting enough, she had to shoot through the door to get in, but she was familiar with that school, albeit it was many years since she had attended there. But she felt that was a softer target.
And what does it tell you about the planning? Because we're hearing that she had drawn maps and indicated entry points. This seemed to be a very well thought out plan. This wasn't a spur of the moment.
Well, you know, a lot of times you hear people say she just snapped or he just snapped. And most of the time people don't snap. It's a long, steady boil. And it's just it's rising over the years. It's interesting that she was there or he was there, and again, this whole trans thing makes it kind of confusing, as you touched on earlier. She was a student there in third and fourth grade. Studies have shown that the pre-incident indicators or the concerning behaviors that many of these violent actors display don't really show until 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, junior high age. And so the interesting, the reports on when she was there in third and fourth grade, that there were no indications. Well, they don't usually show themselves then. So it'd be interesting to talk to someone after she left that school and went to a different school, what they were like, what she was like at, 10, 11, 12 years old. And then those concerning behaviors generally manifest themselves in the late teens, early 20s stage. That's when most of your shooters, in high school or just after they got out of the school, manifest themselves. So it's interesting that she's 28 years old and this steady boil over the how long has this been manifesting and rising in her system that she finally took action at 28 years old. That's what will be researched in this particular case.
Steve Hooper is joining us. He is him and his wife have a company called Tripwire Security Solutions, where they advise corporations and school districts. Over 30 years with the FBI, his wife over 20 years with the FBI. Obviously, an expert in this department. So, what right now with the people that are listening that have kids in school? What should parents be asking of their school districts and what they're doing for safety? What do they need to focus on, and how can they feel better about things? And what do they need to hear to feel better about things?
Most of the parents we've talked to just want to know that there's a plan. And they also don't underestimate what parents see when they get to the school as far as physical security. They notice things like how high the fences are and how easy the access is. And so schools need to focus on making sure they're displaying that hardened target look, because the physical security is important. The training, the lockdown drills, we can't let lockdown drills become like fire drills we always grew up with. It was just something you checked a block. Sadly, sometimes they are at some schools. But the physical security and the hardening of the target, that's important. That's important for parents' peace of mind. But also bringing somebody in to talk to the parents, to talk about training and a plan that will help mitigate the threat, not just respond to the threat. But you've got a plan in place to prevent the act from happening. And that's things like having a plan to take action when they notice these concerning behaviors, when they have a student that has is demonstrating what we call pre-incident indicators. And that's a change in behavior that's noticeable, that, and you just make sure you ask questions as to why this change in behavior. And you have a plan in place to reach out to, whether it's family or law enforcement, or proactive steps to prevent it from happening, not just planning to respond to it if it does happen. And people also need to know that the odds of this happening at their school are very, 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 very slim. So this is a rare occurrence, although it seems like it's happening regularly. It doesn't happen as much as sometimes it's portrayed as.
I'd like to ask you, have you seen the video, the body cam video of the officers making entry into that school?
I have.
So based on your expertise, because I know you were with the SWAT team, so was your wife, the entry that they made, this looked to me like a textbook. This is how you're supposed to respond to an active shooter. What did you see happen in that 6-minute video?
It's basic law enforcement clear. The strange evolution in law enforcement now, and I say strange as in it's normal, it makes sense, is that it used to be there were patrolmen and law enforcement officers out there doing their job. And then if they needed someone to go into a building and do a clear, whether it's a dynamic clear, which you're racing through trying to save lives, or a law enforcement clear where you're maybe searching for someone, you called on a special tactical team, i.e. SWAT or whatever, SRT, some of them all call different names. But now, with what's going on and with these types of incidents, many, if not all, law enforcement, I'll say many because it can't be all, law enforcement agencies are all training their officers. And I did training for local police back in the day, but they were warrant squads and different squads that were fugitive squads who were necessarily just spending all day every day hunting down fugitives. And if they found them in a location, they had to have a plan, a formalized plan on how to go into the house and find the guy and arrest him. And so we used to train local police on how to make entries and so forth. But those, again, were special groups, fugitive squads and warrant squads. But now, even patrolmen who show up on the scene of this, they're out patrolling and they get the call that there's an active shooter. Now the basic patrolman has to have special tactical style training, how to move in a group, how to move through a building in an organized fashion. And it's called close quarter battle, or CQB, and how they move through a building. And these guys demonstrated that they've had that training.
So my last question has to go back to the topic we were just talking about, mitigation. When you talk about those behaviors ahead of time, what role do school counselors play in that once those behaviors have been identified? Is it school counselors that intervene there? Is that what you suggest?
What I suggest is that schools have trained crisis managers. Counselors are trained in one aspect, and that's dealing with emotional situations at the time, but crisis managers are would be a person or preferably a team, three or four people that are in your school, whether they're the, and it can't, it shouldn't be the principal, it could be the vice principal or one of the counselors. And many of our schools, the counselor is the crisis manager also, but it's a different type of training. And it involves a group that focuses on what they perceive as a threat. But the term threat doesn't mean that the person's, you anticipate that they're going to do something dangerous. It just means a change in behavior by a particular student or students that you consider concerning. And then someone owns that threat. That crisis management team focuses on it every day. The six-year-old who shot the teacher, that they considered that a high threat, and one of the policies they put in place, and we've talked about this, is the parent had to escort the child to school. Mm-hmm. And on the one day they couldn't escort him, they let him come to school by himself, and that's when he shot the teacher. So owning the threat and keeping the policy and procedure in place and taking proactive steps, but someone has to own it, and that's more of a crisis management role than a counselor role.
Steve, if people have more questions about your company and what you can offer them, can you just give us your website and how people can find you?
Yeah, tripwiresecuritysolutions.com is our website, and my email is on there, shooper@tripwiress.com, and my cell phone number's on there. And you can just reach me through all those contacts.
I always appreciate the information now more than ever, so thanks for coming on, Steve.
All right. Thanks, Mike.